The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 94.3 FM, The Talker. This is where we talk about the issues and topics that matter to homeowners, buyers, and sellers. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We've been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners. Jackie, I didn't get to ask you, how are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, I didn't introduce you.
No, you did. No, that's
I'm
okay.
Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
Yeah, there we go.
And we are with attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, you're ready to rock and roll here? We are going to talk about what...
Well, Michelle, how long have you been doing this stuff for?
Over 20 years now. It's... Seems like it's gone so quick.
You come in here and you're like the professor. You're our go-to real estate authority.
Well, I like being that for you guys.
Yeah. And all you do is pretty much is just real estate, right?
That's... I do mostly real estate. I also do business law and oil and gas as it relates to real estate, which, you know, is most of my work these days.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have had a lot of great discussions with you and learning a lot because this stuff can get complicated.
And you are Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group?
The O'Brien Law Group.
Not to be confused with anyone else, and Pinnacle Abstract, correct?
That's correct,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Just wanted to get that out there.
All right. What someone doesn't know about their land can actually hurt them. But it's very confusing when I say this word, zoning, right?
Yes.
Some people zone out.
So a homeowner just goes and decides to put an addition on like an in-law suite. And then they find out afterwards that it's not legal due to zoning. How often does this happen?
Well, not only that happens, but also what happens if somebody wants to run a business out of their house, or somebody wants to buy a residential property and make it a apartment building. All of those kinds of things happen all the time. And what people don't think about, because it's not really well publicized. It's not very, I mean, I don't know how well known it is, but each borough, or at least every county, if the borough doesn't have it, has a zoning code or a zoning and planning code, and they have a zoning and planning board that hears all sorts of matters like you're talking about, like for an addition or for a business in a residential zone or something like that, some sort of use or change in use that may violate what the borough or the county deems to be not appropriate in that location. So if you're going to make a change to the use or, you know, an addition, size, building, anything like that, if you're going to make a change, it's always good to call the borough's office and say, hey, here's what I'm planning on doing. What do I need to do with you guys? What application needs to be filled out? Who do I need to talk to? Do I need to have a meeting with the building code inspector, or do I need to have a meeting with the zoning board? Do I have to submit an application and have my thing, my question heard at the actual zoning and planning meeting? There's all sorts of questions. And of course, as I always say, it's on a case by case basis. Every situation's unique. So this person's addition may require zoning approval, but the next door neighbor's addition is going to be a little bit different. And maybe it doesn't require anything but a building permit.
Yeah. So just because someone owns land, that doesn't mean they can do whatever they want with it. There's A lot of municipalities that do not allow someone to purchase land, a vacant lot, and just put a garage on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had to go in front of the zoning board to put a digital billboard up years ago. Mm-hmm. We had to go there just to change the sign.
Yeah.
We wanted to be, you know, we want to conform to all the laws, but we had to go through the process.
Absolutely, because in different zones, different kinds of signs are permitted.
Well, there's zone categories, right?
Yes.
So, and there's residential, but that could have two or three or four categories, R1, R1A, R2, R3.
Right.
And then there's commercial, industrial, mixed use, special purpose, mm-hmm. right? So there's all these, but every town, every borough, every city, township mm-hmm. is different.
Everyone is different. And sometimes if you have a really rural community, sometimes they don't have a zoning code at all and it goes up to the county's level. So you really have to figure out in your, you know, wherever your property is, who kind of governs the zoning for that property and the planning and the building permits.
So if the county has a zoning rules and regulations, and the borough or city has it, it would be the city or the borough that would override or supersede.
Generally, that's
right?
true.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, Airbnbs now.
Yep.
This is a big thing. It's a huge topic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people bought property to use them as Airbnbs, but now
their municipality won't allow it.
Uh-huh.
Short-term rentals, it's called. So mm-hmm. if you're looking in your zoning code, usually they call it short-term rentals. They're not allowed, but sometimes it's called something else. So you need to look at the definitions, too.
Mm-hmm.
So how would I, as a purchaser, know these things? Would you be able to look these things up?
Yes. Yeah. So we do look them up. But if you're buying a piece of property and you intend to change the use of the property, there's no problem with you just calling the zoning inspector or the municipal building and just saying, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm thinking about buying this property. I mean, you should really vet it before you go ahead and purchase the property and then you're stuck.
And get it in writing.
There's some lake communities that have a portion of the lake where they can have Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing that coming up.
That's coming
a trend,
up.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's whole communities, people don't like it. They're going to Airbnbs, they're a different neighbor every weekend.
Yeah.
And they're buying a second home and they think that maybe at some point they can use it as an Airbnb. But some of these lake communities are saying, not if you own in this stretch of this portion of the lake. So it gets a little tricky.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not always black and white.
And we have a lot of those lake communities around here, so mm-hmm. it's worth looking into. Not only is that a zoning and planning issue, but that may be an issue with your, like, homeowners association type group. So the lake communities
right.
often have a community association, and you need to not only go to the zoning and planning, but you also need to go to your association.
Right. So even like if you're buying a condo, you need to look, you have to do your homework.
Some neighborhood associations will govern all sorts of things, like what color you can paint your house, when you can put your Christmas lights up, and when the Christmas lights have to come down, how many cars can be in your driveway. All sorts of things can be regulated by those homeowners associations.
Yeah. Fences.
Mm-hmm. Swimming pools.
Swimming pools, sheds, campers.
Yep.
Right. There's a lot. Even clotheslines.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Title insurance, which we talked about two shows ago, doesn't protect against zoning violations, usually.
Again.
It depends.
It depends. It can in certain situations. If you bought the property and there was already some sort of a zoning problem, in some situations it might cover that kind of a problem. But again, it would be a really case-by-case basis on that in that situation.
Okay. How hard is it to rezone, to get zoning changed?
It depends on
I knew
what
you were going to say that.
That's a typical attorney response.
I know,
you
know, it is, isn't it?
It depends.
It depends.
Yep.
What's the rate? It depends.
So, it just depends.
Right.
If it's, let's say you wanted to, I don't know, it could be anything. If you want to put a little addition onto your house, maybe that's not such a big deal. You want to put a big addition on your house, maybe it becomes impossible. If you're a commercial property, I know downtown Scranton has been very well published that the University of Scranton has tried to get different buildings approved, or they've got to do a traffic study sometimes. I mean, this can be years and years long trying to meet all the requirements, make all the neighbors happy. Very often, if it is a big change and you have to go to a meeting of the actual board, the public is invited to those meetings, and your neighbors can all express their concerns about or their support for the project. I think the most well-publicized lately has been the solar farms, especially up in Clark Summit. There has been a lot in the news about that. There have been some solar companies trying to do some solar farms up in Clark Summit, and there's been a lot of opposition by the neighbors to those types of things. And that would be, it's a question about if the zoning allows it or not.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people that just proceed without not stopping and realizing that they should be checking with zoning. And I get that. But if they don't know, I'm going to guarantee that their neighbor knows the rules and regulations. And that's
some
often,
nosy neighbor knows.
Locally, I could say that, that's a fact.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea to check. We found out when we were doing our house over, we did not realize, but one of our neighbors did when we were doing the demo. We needed a demo permit. Mm-hmm. So we got shut down by the zoning officer.
What are we supposed to put everything back in after we're done? I don't know. How did that work? I don't know.
I don't know, but I got the phone call at our house. It's 9 o'clock at night. It was, whatever. It is what it is.
In some communities, I was lucky, but during COVID, I decided I was going to rip up my old driveway and put a new driveway down. And the person who issues building permits from that community drove by and stopped by and said, "Do you have a permit for this?" I was like, "It's a driveway. Like, it's the same driveway as before. I'm just redoing it." Like, we ripped it all up because it was very, very old. Ripped it all up and put new down. And he was like, "You need a permit for that." But he was just driving around and saw it. He didn't get a complaint or anything. He just legit was driving around and saw it.
We were doing a roof on a garage in Scranton, and a code enforcement guy and his little Ford Focus drove up the block and said, "You have a permit for that?"
Yeah. Well, better they catch you before you do the whole thing than afterwards and tell you you have to rip it up.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, they went down to City Hall and immediately did whatever they had to do.
Same. I did the same thing.
Yeah. And that's what we do with the demo for the...
You
just do what you got to do. You got to pull, yeah.
But always better to make that call down to the borough building or the municipality that you're in and just say, "Hey, here's what I want to do." Better than sneaking it under the radar and then having a big financial problem later.
Yeah, we didn't. You didn't realize, we didn't realize. But there are some people that do believe better to ask forgiveness than permission.
That's also true.
You could get into a lot of trouble. How many times have you heard that somebody had to rip something out because they didn't ask for permission?
There have been times, but I think it's bad advice from me to say do it and then ask for permission.
No, I wouldn't
But
either.
I think people do that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a property and it was a two unit. It had, it was up and down. It had two separate entrances. It had two separate electrical panels. It was like this for many, many years. Two separate living quarters, two kitchens. The owners did not pay two trash bills. They paid one. It boiled down to that municipality did not allow it to transfer as a two unit and considered it a single because only one trash bill was paid over the years. Now, see, someone thought they were getting away with paying that second trash, right? And that wound up biting them.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's real estate for you, mm-hmm. right? And I argued with not in a bad way, but I was, trying. It was our seller, and I was trying to say, "Look, this doesn't make any sense because there's two entries, there's two electrical panels, there's two kitchens. It's not a single, mm-hmm. and you can't get financing on a property. Somebody buys it as a single because the municipality that says it's a single. You cannot get financing when it's two separate living quarters and there's a second kitchen.
Yeah.
So where do you go?
Right.
The seller pulled it off the market. you know, you're looking for a cash buyer, right?
Right.
So these interesting times, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what's the weirdest zoning surprise you've ever seen?
That's a good question. Usually,
garage band crackdowns,
probably,
garden shed dramas, yeah. Chicken coops. There's a lot of chickens in Scranton.
There are a lot of them. I had to look up once because someone wanted to have a pig in Clark Summit. And so I don't actually remember if they were allowed to or not, but that was a lot of years ago. But I had to research once if that was allowed under the zoning codes. And my favorite one, though, is I represented a client who owned a business, a restaurant that had like a bunch of like outside smokers and some things like that. But it was in the middle of a residential area. Turns out that it was grandfathered in because the restaurant's been there for so – it's not a restaurant. They sell like food products. It's not really an eat-in restaurant. But they'd been there since before the zoning code, so they were grandfathered in. So what that means is they did the zoning code after they were already there, and they weren't going to make them move out because they were in violation of a code that didn't exist before they opened. So the store was going to transfer to the next generation, and the next generation wanted to make some improvements and switch out the smokers in the back and change some things on the front of the building. And we had to really tread very lightly with the zoning code and the zoning officer and the planning board and the whole thing, trying to decide, like, what updates can they do to the building without triggering a problem with the zoning code, because it's no longer grandfathered in if you're going to ask to get a building permit or make changes to the building. So it either has to stay exactly the same, or you have to go get approval, which would require what's called a variance or a special exception. And so if something doesn't fit in your zoning category where you're located, like theirs wouldn't, you have to go to the zoning board and say, here's what we want to do. Can you give us a special exception for this?
Does that special exception transfer?
Only for that specific property.
Right, but if a new owner comes in.
It could, but very often in certain jurisdictions, you have to go get a new certificate of occupancy. And if you can't get a certificate of occupancy, then it doesn't obviously transfer to the new owner because you can't transfer without the certificate of occupancy. Some jurisdictions don't require a new certificate of occupancy. Usually for commercial, they do, though.
Okay, so another question regarding that property, if it was vacant, so it was grandfathered in as long as it stayed the same and it was in use, what if it was vacant for a couple of years?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. We were reviewing for that one specific issue.
Right.
Everything is based on the exact facts of that situation.
Right. So that's an argument sometimes people have, and I've seen two different areas, local areas, rule two different ways on that.
Sure.
Yeah, it was a two-family.
A two-family.
And it wasn't used as a two-family for so many years.
Over 20.
Right.
And they allowed the owner to update it and continue as a two-family. But I've seen others where it was clearly built as a four-unit, be vacant for more than a year, and they say, no, you have to go, it's only a legal two-unit.
Yeah, it really is specific to the facts of that situation, and then really specific to whoever you're talking to in your jurisdiction, in your municipality or your borough. It really depends on who you talk to, and sometimes you can talk to two different people that have two different answers.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that too.
And, you know, as much as you try to get the answers and it's all on a phone call, try to get it in writing.
Absolutely. Anything they say on the phone can't really be enforced.
But they won't usually.
Right. Mm-hmm. What you were saying, sometimes you get a crabby person on the phone.
Or someone who doesn't know the answer.
Right. And then you get the nice guy. And what is it, good cop, bad cop? You know, two different answers on two different days.
Mm-hmm. With us today is attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Our phone number is 570-209-7901. Or we're on the web at O'BrienLawPA.com or Pinnacle-Abstract.com.
We're going to take a brief break. Where are you located, please?
Oh, we are on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor.
Stay connected to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be back in just a moment.
Home. It's more than just walls and a roof. It's where laughter echoes, where memories are made, and where life truly happens. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we know that finding the right home isn't just about real estate. It's about finding your place in the world. With trusted agents, unmatched experience, and a commitment to your dreams, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Because at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we're not just selling houses, we're delivering the joy of home. Find your perfect home today. Call 570-344-6724 or go to jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Dream big. Move boldly. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
We're picking up where we left off with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my fellow realtor and husband.
And we are back.
With attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group, and Pinnacle Abstract. We talked about zoning on the first half. Let's shift gears. What happens when a buyer or a seller...
I knew this was coming up.
...passes away before closing?
Sometimes that happens.
It does.
It happens more often than you'd think. So if someone dies before they have an agreement of sale in place, let's say they've listed the house, but it's not under contract yet. They don't have a buyer yet. In that situation, really the right thing to do is for the estate to relist the house. Now, in order to have an actual estate, a lot of people say, well, this is their only asset. We don't have to open an estate. We don't need to go to an attorney. We don't need to go through probate. In this situation, you do, because a house, if it is owned by them, the person that passes away, you do need to go to an attorney. You need to open an estate. You need to get an executor appointed, somebody who can sign on behalf of the estate, because we need somebody to be able to sign the paperwork and make the decisions. And that is somebody that is appointed by the Register of Wills office, usually, sometimes it's called something different depending on where you live. But you have to go open an estate, get somebody appointed in order to sign that new agreement of sale. Now, if it's already under contract, let's say John Doe goes and lists his house. He's got a buyer. Everybody has signed the agreement of sale. Then he passes away before the house closes and gets sold. In that situation, the estate can sell the house still, but you still do have to go open that estate because we still need somebody to be able to sign that deed. Now, if there is infighting within the family, there is going to have to be court involvement. The court might have to get involved to authorize a sale or force a sale, and all of this could potentially delay the transaction, delay the closing.
Oh, I guarantee it would delay the closing.
Absolutely.
I got a guarantee on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about when a buyer passes away?
That's a good question. Most likely it terminates the contract. Most likely the contract's going to have to be terminated because you can't force
an heir
to buy the property. No.
Right. Or if it's a husband and wife.
Even in that situation, most likely circumstances have likely changed. Now, if it's a commercial transaction, maybe there's a little bit of a difference. But again, it's going to be really fact specific. But in this, you know, generally, we're not going to be able to force a buyer to buy a piece of property, even if it's their heirs and they have a signed agreement.
Right. So, like, I've had so many discussions with people who do not think that they have to open an estate, and I don't know why that is. It's troubling because a lot of people don't feel they have to, especially if it's like an only child that's left the property. They don't, or they think that they can do it themselves, and they can do it themselves, but it's not.
Well, the state and title companies want all of those records cleared up and make sure that the state wants to make sure they get their inheritance taxes.
Right.
And the only way to make sure you don't have a cloud on title is to go and open that estate and file those inheritance tax returns and make sure that piece of property was on there. Because if not, we have these problems later on when we go search a property and we find that we can't find an inheritance tax return for somebody in the past chain of title. We have to hold an escrow for that.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. It's a lot of money, and it's on the seller to the seller's not getting their money until we get that information from the state that all the taxes due to them has been paid.
Right. And that's usually, that sends them really over the edge when they realize.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. What's the inheritance tax in Pennsylvania?
It depends on who is inheriting. It depends. There's a different rate for kids or other family members or miscellaneous people.
Okay, so what is it for kids, you know?
I don't want to be nailed down. I don't remember the exact. I think it's around 4 or 6%.
Okay.
Now I don't remember exactly what the percent is, but that's for kids.
And that's got to be paid at closing.
No, it does not have to be paid at. It has to be. We will hold an escrow.
Okay.
For the inheritance tax, if the person died that was selling the place. So if the estate is selling, we will hold an escrow until the inheritance taxes are due to be paid. Yeah. Because a lot of times the attorney who's handling escrow, it's not time or he's not ready, he or she is not ready to file that final inheritance tax return yet. So we hold an escrow until they are ready.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when somebody has a POA, a power of attorney, on a listing, they're selling it for their elderly parent, mm-hmm. and it's a POA, but that elderly parent passes.
Thank you for bringing this up. This is the most common misconception. A power of attorney is only good as long as the person is alive. Once they pass away, a power of attorney, no good anymore. Now we need an estate, and we need the register of wills to appoint somebody to sign for the estate. It's not the same as a power of attorney.
Right.
That immediately goes away as soon as the person dies.
Right. And there's a lot to do to open an estate. And some people think that they can do it themselves, and they can technically, but there's a lot to it.
You know what I heard an attorney say one time? You can also do your own heart surgery. Do you want to do that?
It's true. There are a lot of steps and a lot of details. And the Register of Wills office is not allowed to give you legal advice. And they really stick to that. They will not. They won't guide you in doing it because they don't want to. They don't want to, and they shouldn't be responsible for that. So they really do guide you towards getting an attorney to set that up for you.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been involved in a deal where someone passed away? And what happened?
many times it does happen. And, you know, you have to just jump through all those hoops. All the paperwork has to be filed. And unfortunately, what you have to tell everybody, despite everyone's frustration, is that we have to delay closing until this is resolved. And sometimes the buyers walk away. Sometimes people don't want to sign an extension. Sometimes the estate doesn't want to sell anymore.
Right. So, yeah, it depends.
It depends.
Right. Wow, that's the answer of the day.
So it is.
If this person passes away, to open this technically, and I won't hold you to it, but how long would you really need to open an estate and get all that?
Well, I don't do estate work, but I do know a lot of estate attorneys, and it really is just dependent on their schedule. You know, are the people involved in the estate, the executor of the estate, is there a will? What is everyone's schedule? Are they available tomorrow to go down to the Register of Wills and get themselves appointed? Or do they live out of town and we have to wait for them to come in town to go ahead and go to the office and get appointed? So there's lots of timelines.
It could be 2 weeks or 2 months.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. Attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you?
My phone number is 570-209-7901. We are located on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor, and we can be found on the web at obrienlawpa.com or pinnacle-abstract.com.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Remember to catch us again next weekend, Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 95. 543 The Talker.